From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Lexi Krupp, filling in for Mitch Wortlieb. It's Thursday, January 9th, and here are today's headlines. House Speaker Jill Krawinski easily won re-election to her chamber's top leadership post yesterday. Krawinski, a Democrat, faced a challenge for the position from independent Representative Laura Sibilia of Dover. But Krawinski won a decisive victory thanks to a bipartisan coalition that included Republicans like West Rutland Representative Tom Burdett.
With the monumental task we have on our agenda in the coming biennium, we need the experience and leadership Jill brings to the table. We need to hit the ground running now and not spend time on a transition period.
Meanwhile, Chittenden County Democrat Phil Baruth was reelected to the position of Senate President pro tem. Both Krawinski and Baruth negotiated power-sharing agreements with Republicans in order to ensure their reelections. On Vermont Edition, Baruth said addressing property tax hikes and simplifying the state's education funding system will be the Senate's main priority. And he said he's encouraged by the amount of work lawmakers and Governor Phil Scott's administration have already done on education in recent months.
I think we've already got a tripartisan conversation underway. The goal is to convert that into votes that produce a working framework to change.
The state estimates a nearly 6% bump in the statewide property tax in 2025. Last year, property taxes increased by an average of nearly 14%. A former Addison County sheriff accused of sexual assault is poised to plead guilty to lesser charges and avoid prison. According to court records, Peter Newton wants to plead guilty to lewd and lascivious conduct and simple assault. He'd be on probation for 2 years. The change of plea needs a judge's approval and will be taken up in court later this month. Newton was initially charged in 2022 while he was still sheriff. He refused to resign, but did not run for re-election that year. Vermont will receive nearly $68 million for long-term recovery tied to the July 2023 floods. The federal money can go towards housing programs, infrastructure upgrades, and economic development. And it's primarily aimed at helping people with low and moderate incomes. Noah Patton with the National Low Income Housing Coalition says these funds offer a rare opportunity to help build new housing outside of the most flood-prone areas.
One of the coolest things about the program is that you can create new housing with it directly.
State officials need to go through a months-long planning process to figure out how to use the money and will take public input. They say housing is a priority. And public health officials in southern Vermont are advising residents to take steps to protect themselves and pets from rabies. This comes after the health department noted a recent case of rabies in a gray fox in Bennington. Experts say pets should be vaccinated against the disease and that people should not touch or pick up wild or stray animals. Rabies is a deadly viral disease of the brain. It's usually transmitted through bites or scratches from an infected animal. Coming up, we check in on a natural gas pipeline in Addison County that has drawn the ire of nearby residents for years. That's after this. It was a big deal a decade ago when Vermont's only natural gas company announced plans to extend a pipeline through Addison County to deliver gas as far south as Middlebury. The pipeline came online in 2017 and has largely faded from the headlines. But those physically closest to the project haven't stopped paying attention, and they still have concerns about how the line was built. And now, as Vermont Public's Sabine Pooks reports, the Vermont Supreme Court has reopened part of the project to public input.
It was a different time when Nate and Jane Palmer first started fighting the Vermont gas pipeline that runs by their Moncton farm. When they filed letters and documents, they sent them in by mail.
Stream trenches, crossings, notice of possible violations are all in there.
The Palmers have boxes and boxes full of forms. They're tucked into neatly labeled color-coded binders.
Corrosion issues with a pipeline, you know, I mean, some of us have learned far more about building pipelines than these pipeline builders do.
Yeah.
In the beginning, the fight against the pipeline was all-consuming. At one point, Jane Palmer was arrested after she and other protesters refused to leave the Vermont gas lobby during what they called a knit-in protest. And she still talks about when Vermont Gas threatened them and some of their neighbors with eminent domain.
It took a lot out of our lives. I mean, I remember our son saying, well, I can't wait till we can talk about something besides the pipeline. You know, it was out at every dinner table, you know, every meal, everything.
In the decades since, a lot has changed. Forms are now filed online, not by mail. The plan for the pipeline changed to go around the Palmer's property instead of cutting through it, as was originally proposed. And the 40-mile line is now built and gassed up, extending Vermont Gas's service into Addison County. But all these years later, the Palmers and others are still fighting. They argue that the pipeline wasn't constructed well and that it's unsafe, a fear they say was validated a few years ago when regulators released a list of problems with the pipeline's construction. Investigators found that no professional licensed engineer signed off on the project. They also found that the line was not buried as deep as it was supposed to be in some places. And just this April, the Vermont Supreme Court told Vermont Gas to file a new petition to account for those changes. While those proceedings probably won't have much of an impact on the already built pipeline, the ruling does reopen the case for public input for people like the Palmers.
So, you know, you expect that you're going to lose, but if I'm going to lose to them, I want to lose to them legally, you know?
In Vermont, natural gas is primarily used for heat. The state consumes relatively little compared with other states, and what it does use, it gets from Canada and pipes down to more than 55,000 homes and businesses in Chittenden, Franklin, and Addison counties. The main body that oversees natural gas infrastructure in Vermont is the Public Utility Commission. It operates with oversight from the state's Department of Public Service, which is supposed to advocate on behalf of Vermonters.
I think if you had my clients in a room, they would agree that they're more disappointed in the state than they are with Vermont Gas.
James Dumont is the Bristol-based attorney who has been representing the Palmers and some of their neighbors for years. He says those agencies aren't doing their jobs, which is why his clients took the case to the Supreme Court.
The state hasn't been looking out for them.
Vermont Gas, meanwhile, says this latest step is merely procedural. Dylan Giambattista is the company's spokesperson. He says regulators have never found that the line wasn't safe.
The public record is clear. The commission, independent experts, and others have looked at every aspect of the Addison natural gas system, and they've concluded it was safely and adequately installed. That is the result of a thorough investigation. Of course, we're talking about a project that was permitted well over a decade ago.
We're supposed to take their word at this point that they're going to do it right, you know, after we've had a decade of them doing it wrong, you know.
Nate Palmer again. In that decade, the Palmers, who don't get gas from the pipeline, say some of their neighbors have sold their land and moved away. The group of opponents now is smaller, but just as determined. In August, they asked regulators to stop the company from running gas through the pipeline while they're working on a new plan. It might be a long shot, but with the pipeline less than 300 feet from their property, they say they are obligated to keep trying.
We kind of knew we weren't going to win, but we always felt we would leave some scars. We just have been fighting, and we've never really had the opportunity to not fight, really. You know, it's never been resolved.
Vermont Gas Systems is slated to submit a new petition early this month. The Palmers hope it will be another chance to leave some scars. For Vermont Public, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Michaela Lafrak, Liam Elder Connors, Carly Berlin, and Nathaniel Wilson. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Lexi Krupp. Talk to you tomorrow.